Luke chapter 23. I think probably the most difficult time to preach a message is Sunday morning when you're having a potluck dinner right afterwards. It's really hard to hold people's attention when they can smell the food. And that's how I feel tonight, looking at the eager faces of these children, knowing that there's a field full of chocolate and candy waiting for them. And so I'm going to be fairly brief tonight. And unlike Brother Matt, I really mean that. So Luke chapter 23, I do want to share just a couple things this evening before we go to the rest of our activities. But Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 32, we see the scene here on Calvary. The Bible says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left." And go to verse 39, if you will. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let's have a word of prayer together this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can come together tonight and we can remember the sacrifice of Christ. And this Easter season, Lord, we are so thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus and the resurrection. Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins that we can receive. Lord, I pray tonight if there's one in our midst who hasn't repented and put their faith and trust in Jesus, that tonight they would be saved. Lord, I pray for every believer in the room that you would strengthen us in our faith. Lord, help us to love you more and be more grateful for all you do for us. Lord, forgive us of our many sins. Just be with us. Help us to be a blessing to you tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here on this scene, at this scene on Calvary, we have Jesus on the cross, and like you see in the pictures or the signs, there's three crosses, right? We know the Bible tells us that Jesus, as he was crucified, had a malefactor or a thief, had a criminal on the left hand and another criminal on the right hand. And the last verse that we read before we went to God in prayer, verse 43, Jesus told one of the criminals, "Verily or truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So think about this. Here is Jesus hanging on the cross, about to die, with two criminals on each side of him. And right before he dies, Jesus looks at one of the men and gives him hope. All right, that's a pretty hopeless situation. If you're being crucified, the government is putting you to death, there's not much hope there, right? And yet Jesus looks at this criminal in his final moments of life and gives him all the hope in the world and says, "Today, truly, you'll be with me." And that's the hope of eternity. That's the hope of the resurrection, that even though you're about to physically die, today you're going to be with me for all of eternity, and there will be no more death. And what a great hope we have that Jesus can make that promise and he can fulfill that promise. But I want to remind you tonight that Jesus only made that statement to one of the criminals. There was a man on his left and a man on his right, both being crucified, and yet Jesus only said to one of them, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." What about the other man? Just real briefly tonight, I want to share with you a couple things that these two criminals had in common with each other. Here you have Jesus in the middle and the criminal on both sides, and the first thing that they had in common was that they were both guilty. Go back to verse number 41 of Luke 23. Verse number 41. This criminal in his own words says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Now raise your hand, kids and older people alike, if you've ever gotten in trouble for anything. All right. Put your hands down. Raise your hand if you've ever gotten in trouble for something you didn't do. All right. Put your hands down. Now, raise your hand if most of the times you got in trouble, it's because of something you did. Yeah. So here is this criminal dying next to Jesus. One of the criminals looks at Jesus and mocks him. And the other criminal looks across the scene and says, "Hey, what are you doing? This man hasn't done anything wrong. We're being crucified because of what we've done. We're being punished, and it's a just punishment." And that's important to think about. These two thieves who were being crucified, it was a just sentence they had received. They deserved death because of the laws they broke. And yet, in his own words, speaking of Jesus, he said, "This man has done nothing amiss." You see, all three men, Jesus and the other two, they were all being punished. But Jesus was being punished for something he didn't do. These two men, though, they had in common that they were both guilty. Romans chapter 3, 23, it's a very familiar verse that everyone might be familiar with. If you want to flip over to Romans 3, 23, we know the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I read, you raised your hand a second ago if you've ever done anything wrong, if you've ever been punished for doing something wrong. Everyone in this room tonight, the Bible says we have all sinned. And we have sinned because that's who we are. Right? We don't become sinners the moment we sin. We sin because that is our nature. One of the illustrations someone shared with me a long time ago, it makes sense to me, is a duck doesn't become a duck when it starts swimming, right? A duck swims because it's a duck, and that's what it does. And because of our sin nature, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when man first sinned in the garden, because of the sin nature that is within us, passed down from our great-great-grandfather Adam, every single person, the Bible says, we have all sinned. Everyone in this room, every young person, every older person, everyone in Muldrow, everyone in Oklahoma, everybody has sinned. And furthermore, Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And a wage is something that you earn. And so what the Bible tells us is that because we have sinned, what we have earned is death. And that word death means separation. We have earned death. And so like these two criminals on both sides of Jesus, this one criminal said, "Listen, we're here justly because of what we've done. We have earned our death sentence on the cross, but Jesus hasn't." And so both men were guilty. Secondly, both men believed that Jesus died on a cross. Remember, Jesus offered one of these men hope. Jesus said to one man, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise," but he didn't make the same promise to the other man. Why is that? First of all, we know it can't be because one man was better than the other, because they were both guilty. They both transgressed and they both deserved death. And so Jesus didn't make that promise because one man was better than the other, but he also didn't make that promise because they both believed he died on a cross. Now listen to me, and you got to hear the rest of what I'm about to say. It's not enough to believe that Jesus died on a cross. It is an indisputable fact of history that a man named Jesus died 2,000 years ago. There are those who deny it ever happened, but that is an incredibly ignorant position. There was a man named Jesus who died 2,000 years ago. And furthermore, I'll tell you this, that most people, I've only been in Muldrow about a year now, but almost everybody in Muldrow believes that a man named Jesus died on the cross. And both of these criminals believed that. Neither one of them would deny it. They were next to Jesus as he was dying. And so even though one of the criminals believed that Jesus died on the cross, Jesus didn't promise him everlasting life and didn't give him hope. See, these thieves had a couple things in common. They were both guilty. They both believed Jesus died on the cross, but what was it that made them different from one another? Here it is. In our text, in verse 41, One of the men says to the other, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You know what he does there? He acknowledges that he's guilty. He's dying because of what he's deserved. He acknowledges that Jesus has done nothing wrong, that he is sinless, and he acknowledges who Jesus is. When he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," he has an understanding of who Jesus is. See, this thief, this malefactor, this criminal, they both believed it out on the cross, but only one of them put his faith and trust in Jesus and who Jesus is. Think about this. This man had no good works to offer. When Jesus looks at him and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," it's not because this guy cleaned up his life. I don't know how much longer he lived on the cross after the statement, but it wasn't very long. We know that he was not a good guy. He deserved the death sentence. He had broken the law. He was being executed by the government. He did not live a moral life, and yet Jesus still said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He had no good works to offer, and that's true of us. Do you understand that? That we can't be good enough to earn the hope of the resurrection. Even if they had let that man off the cross to try to repay society for all he had done wrong, he would have never been able to right his wrongs in the eyes of God. Many people have this idea that after you die, there's this scale in heaven, and God's going to weigh your good stuff and your bad stuff, and if you've done more good than bad, then he'll let you into heaven, right? That's the perception that most people have. But once again, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. This man wasn't promised hope because he was a good man. He certainly was never baptized. That's one of the most common answers when you ask people if they were to die, would the Lord let them into heaven? They say, "Well, I've been baptized." This man died on the cross before ever being baptized. And yet, Jesus promised him hope of eternal life. It's not by anything good that we can do. It's only in faith and trust in Jesus Christ that we can have hope. This man, once again, looks at Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, that today shalt thou be with me in paradise." All this man had to offer was a repentant heart and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But fortunately, that's all a person needs. And tonight, if you would have a repentant heart over your sin, and like this man, be willing to admit that you deserve punishment because of your sin nature, and then put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can have as much hope as this man. And how ironic that this thief on the cross next to Jesus, taking his final breaths, dying an agonizing death, Jesus looks at him and makes him this promise, and there's not a more hopeful man in the world. And as we celebrate Easter and we think about the resurrection, that's the hope that we have. That when we put our faith and trust in Christ, no matter what goes on around us, no matter what happens to us, no matter what circumstances come up, no matter anything that happens in this life, when Jesus makes this promise, that's good. "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God." And so we're about to go have some fun and look for some Easter eggs and chocolate and all that kind of great stuff. But before we do, the real reason that we're here is we want to share the gospel, and we want everyone in here to know the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And that's a decision that you have to make. This man on the cross, that was a choice that he made. And every single person who wants to be in Christ, listen, your parents can't make that choice. Your kids can't make that choice for you. It has to be a decision that you make to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me if you would. We're going to sing a song of invitation before we close tonight. Our musicians come forward. And tonight, if the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that you have never repented and trusted in Jesus, listen, this man, that's the best choice he ever made. Because even today, he's with the Lord.
tonight you can be saved. Just like this man, you repent of your sins and you trust in Jesus and what he did for you, and you can have that same hope. Let's have a word of prayer together before we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we can have hope in Jesus. And I pray tonight that if there's someone right now just wrestling or under the conviction of their sin, I pray that you would reveal to them how great a need this is. Lord, help us to put aside the other distractions that we have going on tonight. Lord, let this be a night where a lost sinner comes to know you. But I pray that you would help every believer in this room to think about the price that Christ paid for us and be more thankful. Break our hearts over our rebellion, our sin. Lord, I pray that you would receive honor and glory during this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What number are we going to say?